Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast, and we have a great guest for you today. We are going to be talking with author James Sundquist, and we will be talking about Carl Jung and psychology. Is it fact or fiction? So stay tuned for that. The chat room is open. If you would like to go there, I'll be checking the chat room. And also remember, this is a live call-in show. And if you have a question for either myself or James during the program, the call-in number is 914-338-1638. Also, I'd like to mention our website, propheticnews.com, and our YouTube channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48. And also, we're here every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the Prophetic News radio broadcast. And also, we're on Monday on the Prophecy Zone radio network on Blog Talk Radio. And that's from 2 to 3 p.m. So if you'd like to tune in for that. Also, I wanted to make you aware of a few things that were going on this week in Christianity land, and a friend of mine who has a YouTube channel, Kevin Oliver, and his YouTube channel is NYTN, Not Your Typical Negro. Kevin's been on there for quite a few years. He's had over 1 million visitors to his YouTube channel, and he's been producing some great informative videos. And also, he's one of the co-hosts there at Church Folk Revolution on Blog Talk Radio. But we've been, all of us have been anyway, doing some exposés on the Eddie Long scandal. And you know that Eddie Long was accused of having homosexual relations with some of the young men in his church, and he was being sued by these young men, and he denied the allegations and said he was going to fight them. But anyway, he wound up paying millions of dollars in settlement money, which is really bribe money, so that they can never talk about it. But I believe in forgiveness and repentance, but so far Eddie has not repented, and he needs to tell the truth and come clean. So we haven't yet to see that. But anyway, Creflo Dollar had preached in his church last week that he was a friend of Eddie Long's, and that he was going, he was telling people that if they left Eddie's church, they should go back because he didn't want them. So anyway, Kevin made a video about it, and Creflo found out. And he had Kevin Oliver's channel terminated on YouTube, which, I don't know. You know, everybody has a right to their opinion, and especially if it's a biblical truth, we have the duty to tell people about it. So I don't think that we're supposed to be going and trying to get people's ministries shut down unless they're doing something like molesting children. They definitely need to be shut down. Or, if they're doing things that they aren't supposed to be doing when people are putting their trust in them. So anyway, if you'd like to give a shout out to Kevin Oliver, he's on Facebook in support of having his channel, if they could, put it back on. I know that he's got another one. I think it's NYTN in America. But if you Google Kevin Oliver or go on Facebook, I think you'll find him. So I thought that was very interesting. But I expect that, if Creflo was upset by anything that Kevin said, then they should have been able to have a conversation besides them going and reporting him to YouTube and having his channel terminated, which is ridiculous. It's like somebody was posted something about YouTube has videos about rape and murder and witchcraft, and they don't terminate these channels, but yet they terminated Kevin for merely stating some facts about Creflo Dollar and Eddie Long. But God really blessed it because the video went viral, and then they've been talking about it. One of the anchors from CNN was talking about it. Tom Joyner, I think, talked about it on his radio program. So, God, it sounds like a promotion for Kevin Oliver's videos and Church Folk Revolution. So, anyway, I just want to bring on my guest, one of my favorite guests, James Sundquist. Hi, James.
Susan, hi. A delight to be with you again. We should call this a series at this point, right? We've done so many shows together.
Yes, this is a happy birthday, James.
Thank you, and I won't tell you how many. 39 several times over, right?
Oh, well, I hope many more. But I enjoyed the PowerPoint presentation that you sent me this morning. It was very, very informative. And,
thank you. Well, I thought if you're actually looking at it, a picture speaks a thousand words, and it's
yes.
So clear. I spent thousands of hours studying it, thinking it through, trying to conceptualize how to put it visually so you could see an actual picture.
Oh, it's well done.
Quality, if you will.
Really well done.
Thank
yeah.
you very much.
Yeah, I thought that's a really good way to present it to people where they could understand it.
And it's irrefutable. No one has been able to refute it. And I had written the letters to the Jung Institute in Zurich to confirm, as well as ask questions to verify that his personality profiling was derived from a spirit guide named Philemon, as well as particularly based on evolution. And it's hard to talk about just one component. There's so many aspects of it. You think personality profiling, it couldn't be more innocent than that. Can't we just have a little fun? Can't we just talk about what animal you are and what animal I am and whether you're more female or male in your psychological makeup?
Yeah, there was even somebody that had come out with a teaching that God was male and female.
And there's so it kind of
coincides with that whole personality profiling thing where that Carl Jung actually said everybody was bisexual.
Yes, and the I got attacked by some of his defenders that said that was complete nonsense. But I didn't accuse him of in a literal bisexual component, but more to address the psychological component. And the same with Rick Warren. I would not have accused Rick Warren of believing in unisex blending of the opposites. But nevertheless, the spiritual component is really the most important anyway, because it's dealing with male and female, he created them. God did.
Yeah.
So there's clear lines of distinction, just as there are in different kinds of animals. Everyone was made in its own kind. And I would think Christians would wake up and smell the coffee and then not try to make personality profiles based on animals, when in fact Scripture uses animals to primarily describe when people became reprobate minds, he turned them over to be unreasoning animals. So why would you want to use an animal as your template for your character, your personality profile? And there, animals are used throughout Scripture, as you know, but they're never used to describe a personality. They're used to describe character.
Yeah.
In every single instance, and I defy anyone and challenge anyone to prove that I am mistaken in that regard. You have Gary Smalley. He's one of many that have integrated Christianity or psychology and psychotherapy with the Scripture, and has his personality profiling thing out there. And he's going to be speaking at Robert Schuller's Crystal Cathedral.
Oh,
a major leader, and spoke at Rick Warren's conferences. And so I wrote a piece. I'll maybe do some quotes off of that, which is integrated with what you wanted to talk about, the Carl Jung personality profiling thing that Rick Warren uses in Shape, et cetera. But here we have how you can use an animal to describe personality. For example, Susan, the Bible uses the word lion, and in one sense it's used to describe Jesus as the Lion of Judah.
Yeah, right.
So that's a character trait, and it's a royal attribute for the lion being the king of the jungle, if you would.
Yes.
In the positive sense, totally. But David slew lions, and Paul describes your enemy, the adversary, the devil, roams to and fro the earth to seek whom he may devour as a roaring lion.
Yeah.
So here we have lion, an animal used in the Bible in completely opposite realms and applications. We're a sheep, and my sheep hear his voice. So in one sense, that's positive. The shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is our shepherd, and we're sheep. But he also uses it in a degrading way. We are all sheep who have gone astray, each one unto his own way, where sheep are dumb before the shears. And yet we have sheep, one particular sheep, and we have Jesus is described as the Lamb of God, which would be a sheep that is slain for our sins. So
yes.
To plug in an animal to describe your personality is insane.
Really, but what did Carl Jung think of Christianity?
Well, he didn't. He used religion in a way. His predecessor, mentor before that, was far more atheistic. And I got an email from somebody that said that Carl Jung did believe in the Holy Spirit, but it's another spirit, just like
right.
another Jesus. So I was, you know, I was ready to stand corrected, because I said in psychotherapy and personality profiling, there is no Holy Spirit. Well, there is no Holy Spirit in its true biblical sense, and where the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity.
Yes.
But to say that I'm saying that with a word of caution. So you have the slideshow. We could spend hours just going over.
Yeah, I've got it up, and I'm because I thought some of these points were so well made, well done, that this would be great for people to understand, because I know some people, for instance, like Carlton Pearson, who was at one time or claimed to be a Pentecostal Christian, he became a believer later on, him and his wife, in Ultimate Reconciliation and Universalism. But they had been studying Carl Jung, so it was part of what happened to them. Whether or not they were ever really born again is another question. But it was part of their downfall is when they started delving into these New Age philosophies. So
well,
I thought
well,
that you point
to answer
you,
your question. I'll read what's quoted from Carl Jung's book, Memory, Dreams, Reflections, and published in the book. Well, the book they're quoting from his Dreams and Reflections, but this book was published in 1963. Quoting Carl Jung, he says, "Slowly I came to understand that this communion had been a fatal experience for me," meaning the communion of the Lord's Supper. "It had provided hollow. More than that, it had proved to be a total loss. I knew that I would never again be able to participate in this ceremony. Why, that is not religion at all, I thought. It is the absence of God. The church is a place I should not go." That sounds like Harold Camping. "It's not life which is there, but death." Now, ironically, there's some components of truth to that. Yes, it was death. We celebrate the Lord's death every time we celebrate communion. We celebrate his death, his resurrection, and his coming again when we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus said, "I will not drink anew with you until I drink in my Father's kingdom." So that will be the wedding marriage supper of the Lamb that we will literally drink Christ, but it'll be in commemoration, because clearly Jesus is not dead. He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But to take this not peripheral or a sidebar or just an anecdotal thought that Carl Jung held. No, this is a foundational pillar to his philosophy. Now, if you think that isn't bad enough, his personality theory, that from which Rick Warren's SHAPE program is drawn, and again, I love to, from a journalist standpoint, to not only cite your sources, don't use hearsay, but actually go to any place you can go to the origins of the teaching or the institutes that are promoting this to get a second corroboration to establish something as a fact, because it's
yeah.
a serious matter to go out there saying something that somebody believes or teaches
sure.
and say Rick Warren's promoting this and not being able to back it up.
Right.
And did you see the slide of the spirit guide that Carl Jung?
Yeah, I saw that. That was really interesting. So I wrote down some of the points, his view on Christianity, and also, you had talked about neo-Gnosticism, but I think that term is very important, because what is Gnosticism? How can people understand that they might be involved in Gnosticism?
Well, there's a range of what it involves, but it really comes from the word to know or knowledge. It's nothing really new. When they say neo-Gnosticism, or neo-paganism, of course there's nothing new about paganism. It's just neo means new and means what's done with it in the more recent times, more contemporary.
Uh-huh.
That's what the neo part is. The Gnosticism, it's really made up of different kind of components and different schools depending on who you're talking to, but it's a basis of what you can get on your own in terms of knowledge and it goes clear back to the Garden of Eden. this knowledge that you will be like we are, where it was the warning in the
so
garden.
You could be like God. Gnosticism is, in simple terms, it's basically a belief where you could be like God.
Yes, or if you don't believe in God, just simply whatever the ultimate path to being perfect, which is really why evolution is so important. The idea of evolution is that if we were created out of just spontaneous generation of matter and cells and everything, and eventually you become man after you've been through a bunch of beasts. We talk about beasts, right, in the evolution process, the common ancestor being some kind of a beast.
Yeah, of course.
Eventually,
we don't believe in evolution.
The goal, and this is the process of getting to the goal. Well, what is the goal in evolution for humans is perfection, where man gets to be a perfect. Now, in some camps, perfect means you become God. And others,
right,
in more humanist things, who don't believe in God, it's just simply, okay, man becomes perfect, and at that point, if you look at the curve, it's the curve goes up, 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 as man gets better and better and more evolved, and then it becomes a flat line straight across, because over time, there is no improving, because you're already perfect. So the reason you get the idea that it's God is because perfection is, you know, Jesus Christ is perfect, he's sinless, God is perfect, we use that. And so depending on the camps, if you're talking about how religious the camp is versus, say, how atheistic or humanist you're talking. And I don't know if that helped refine. And then, of course, we have the Gnosticism, whereby spirituality became the perfecting of spirituality became by invoking the mystery religions, and you get initiated, and then you get to higher and higher levels. That's what you have in Masonic organization and even Mormonism, Charles Darwin's most of it, his close relatives, his father, and everything were high Masons. There's not a record with certainty that that Darwin was, but the philosophy is there in that regard.
I see that in this slide presentation that you put together about Carl Jung and his beliefs. You stated that he practiced astrology, Taoism, and a belief in evolution. He had a spirit guide named Philemon.
In fact, that's a picture on the slideshow. You can do this on our Perfect Peace Plan website.
So they can go to your website to look at this slideshow?
Yeah, but on the slideshow, I'm actually a speaker at the Prophecy Conference, the Southwest Radio Prophecy Conference, and it's where I went down there to speak. I was a speaker on Rick Warren, and there's two parts, and I did.
Yeah.
Rick Warren.
So was that recently that you spoke at their convention?
That conference was, it's several years ago. That I did the conference, but I have.
Yeah.
What's interesting is some things are old news or expired, but there's no, that particular use of describing the roots of the Carl Jung teaching embedded in Rick Warren's shape personality profiling. You look at that now, there's nothing that's changed. It's just as current today as it was several years ago.
Right. This is something that this topic here is. I think it'll be current until we leave here, because it's always an area of interest, because there's so many people that become involved in these things and they don't really realize what they're involved in. They haven't done, like you said, a good journalist checks their facts, double checks their facts, and you've certainly done that. in this slide presentation. So it's we want people to understand that some things that they get involved in can be dangerous because it's based in the occult. And that seems to be
word occult means hidden. And what is hidden are the deep mysteries of God or to become like God. But they're mysteries that either they aren't true or they're the only way you could get them is you have to go through a spirit guide or get initiated, and you can't get there. And if you've got these profiles and personality tests and things you got to take, you just don't take one on your own by yourself and then you figure out where you stand. The thing is, everything is scored and measured and given a number, numerology, if you would, and then it has to have an interpreter. And so you're totally stocking up a creek without a paddle unless you have an interpreter of this profile and this test and questionnaire you took.
Yeah.
Now, Paul was very, very passionately, almost sarcastic, but he was definitely rebuking with the strongest of words the Christians. Mind you, these are Christians that he's rebuking because they were trying to measure their spirituality. So Paul comes back in the strongest language when they were trying to say, well, I'm a follower of Apollos, or I follow Paul, and you think, well, he'd be stroked because, oh, you're following Paul, that's great. But the Paul's point was that these people are trying to be, and he got really sarcastic and called these so-called super apostles. He was so incensed at this idea of that the super kahunas, the people that you have these mentors, these spirit guides. So he was not only sharply rebuking, he was extremely sarcastic. Now, how could the point be more strongly made, Susan?
Yes, absolutely. We only have one leader, and that's Jesus Christ. So we don't depend on the flesh or human beings. I mean, we can all learn something from each other, but ultimately, we base everything upon Jesus Christ, our belief in Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But I notice also that this Carl Jung's human psyche and personality theory and its basis in hypnosis. Could you just talk a little bit about the dangers of his hypnosis?
Well, you're putting your mind or your spirit in charge. You're basically given the reins. You're handing them over to somebody else. But it also, the scripture warns, it says, put on the mind of Christ. It says, gird up the loins of your mind, meaning put walls up, boundaries, so that you're constantly on guard and be ever vigilant and sober-minded. And there's a word that's used, circumspect. Circumspect is the idea of having eyes all the way around your head. So there's nothing that is hidden or where it isn't revealed that you're constantly being able to see. So when you surrender that, first of all, it's horrific enough if you're surrendering it to somebody that's putting you under hypnosis that isn't a Christian, and that when you become a person can becomes demon possessed, they're surrendering their mind. And then when Jesus cast out the demons, they were possessed by other spirits that had control of their mind, their thinking, and their spirit. So when you are under hypnosis, you're surrendering that to somebody else. Now they said, well, it's okay to do that because it's for a good cause. But I don't see any scripture that says surrender that for even a nanosecond in your life.
Right. We're not supposed to turn our minds over to
any other
human being. It could be like turn into a Jim Jones situation.
And what is the goal? Paul talks about the goal of our instruction is love.
Right.
And where's the sound doctrine in this hypnotism process? These tests, Sarah Leslie put together a great, she's one of these specialists in psychometrics.
Oh, yeah.
She put together a questionnaire, and she, and this is whether it is Rick Warren's shape test or whatever you're being tested for, and...
Well, why do they even have to have this kind of testing in a church? It's like, it doesn't even belong there.
Well, the idea is to help you serve God better, and when in fact, in the reality is, Rick Warren uses the these covenants you have to sign. Well, one of the covenants includes this personality profiling. And it's to find out, ostensibly, you can find out more about yourself. Again, it's all about me. But then they say that in order to serve. But what they're
but
really doing, they're
keep
accessing
these, they,
information
they keep these
on you.
Files on you, too.
Yeah, and, you know, we're getting Big Brother.
Yeah.
A combination of George Orwell in 1984, Brave New World, and the whole combination... but who would ever dreamed it would be the church that would be in charge of and have all this data on you?
Yes.
But she asked some great questions. This is any test that you're taking. Who's scoring the test? What company? What agency? What entity? How are the scores being scored and data banked? Who's in charge of this information on you they have? Who constructed the tests? Is it under contract? Are you paying for the spirituality? Are you, in order to find out how you measure up, are you being measured against yourself or somebody else?
Yes.
Who owns the scores? What happens if you don't take the test? Are you removed from the church? Is the results of these tests handed over to the government?
Yeah.
Handed over to an ecclesiastical authority over you. Are you, if you do not pass mustard with these tests, are you then forced to take mental health counseling? And if you, you're put under church discipline. these tests are given to missionaries, and they're not just used to help you find your way in your calling. You're required to take them in a host of church denominations, and if there's any problems you're having in your ministry, you're forced to take these mental health tests. And if you refuse to take them, then they send you to say you have to go to get mental health counseling. They use these tests to virtually control you, and if you you can't get your credentials without taking
right.
these tests, pastoral
right.
credentials, and it isn't just it's for the members of the church, but it's also for employees,
right? Anyone that wants
credential
work
holders,
there, be in the ministry,
or somebody's daughter, and I've got nightmare stories. I call it the purpose-driven, the ultimate purpose-driven tree, the ultimate rotten fruit, which where they destroyed a pastor, took his church. They tried to force him to take mental health counseling, and then, of course, if you don't take it, this was in the Christian Missionary Alliance. They think they have argued for more reasons to remove your credentials. And your, by the way, your salary. and so, other questions. If you don't gain what the test promised, I don't know how they can promise things because that's counting tomorrow. Jesus said, we don't know what tomorrow brings. So what is really being measured? Can you do church service? Without taking psychological placement tests? Can you become a missionary without taking these tests? Will you be removed from your post if you don't take these? And on it goes, Susan.
Yes, on it goes. I guess we never thought we'd see the day. I see that we do have a caller, but I'm not going to be taking any calls today because we did have someone in the chat room that made some comments, that, and I'm not sure that the caller isn't the person that was in the chat room. So I'm sorry, whoever the caller is, I'm not going to take the call today, and just for that reason, that's why, because I'm not sure if this is the person, so I'd rather not. But anyway,
if I could insert a point, and it goes back a little bit to your question about what Carl Jung thought of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
One of the reasons Carl Jung rejected Orthodox doctrine of Christianity is because it teaches that Christ is only good, and there is no balancing good and evil, or for that matter, balancing your female with your male side of yourself. And that just drove him nuts.
While you're making that point, because, of course, we don't believe that. We don't believe that men have a female side and women have a male side.
Well,
that's part of his philosophy, isn't it?
Balancing and reconciling opposites. And it goes back, he didn't totally agree with Hegel, George Hegel, but the Hegelian process of harmonizing opposites to form a synthesis, and then you... And there's constantly going on, and that's the root of course, of communism, and ultimately Soviet communism.
Yes, because Christians, we don't believe that we have women have a male side as well as a female. That's part of this whole psychology with Freud and Jung, isn't it? Does
yes.
That come from them?
And here's a the idea, and of course, in that those charts, you'll see I have a weighing scale where you balance these two opposite sides. On one side is in his personality theory of Carl Jung's, he got part of this idea from Taoism, which has the yin and the yang, the male and the female. So it's not new. The religion it goes back thousands of years, way before Jung. But it became a perfect vehicle for Carl Jung to insert. He used the term converted the yin and the yang to animus and anima, which were the male and the female, and they. So what you had components of the male and the female, and he described this as psychological bisexuality. That doesn't mean a person is bisexual in a literal sense, but it's in your psychology. Now, this is the foundation of Rip Warren, John Smalley, and I could go on and on with the quote-unquote done in Jesus' name, Christians out there promulgating, integrating psychotherapy with Christianity, and this is the foundation. Now, that kind of a root system, then should we be surprised what kind of fruit comes out of this tree?
Not at all. I mean, it's very confusing. I remember, a few years back, it was over 10 years ago, but when somebody told me that, God had a male and a female part, and I was like, what? It was just shocking.
Well, St. John the Divine has a picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross with full breasts because they want the female version.
It's terrible. But it's like, where do these things come from? And then why would any Bible-believing Christian even want to believe such nonsense? But you could see how these things have crept in, and people haven't done the investigating and haven't done the studying, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to talk about this today, because I know that there's people out there that they become involved in these things and they don't really realize, maybe even innocently, they became involved, and they don't know how much damage they could do to themselves. And
the early Christians burned these magic arts in a fire. That might be one of the first things they ought to think about doing. I have this also described in my first book on Rick Warren, but I've got to be very, very careful to tell you and your listeners that as big and as huge as this is within Rick Warren's empire, this personality profiling and the shape profiling, it is massively distributed, independent of Rick Warren didn't even exist. The personality.
Well, I remember it came out in the 80s. I think, The Left Behind, whoever wrote The Left Behind, Tim LaHaye, I think he had something like that at one time.
In fact,
because I remember they were bringing it into the church at the time.
Yeah, that was the
personality profiling tests.
That was clear back in, it could have been, well, it was before that, because I went to the Campus Crusade Institute in the summer of 1969, and Tim LaHaye was bringing this personality theory in back then.
Yeah, he was bringing it in.
And he wasn't the first. And they're drawing from the four elements, wind, fire, etc. But it's integrated beyond that. And Carl Jung foundation of this. For the modern profiling, personality profiling, became known, the big, the more famous one, and they fully admit that the Myers-Briggs personality, MBTI, it's known as the abbreviation. But it's variations of in Christian world, Ken Vogt, and of course Gary Smalley. And this whole animal thing, we went to a birthday party of a friend of ours who turned 50, and this pastor was there at a church we used to go to, and thank God we are not there now, but he was describing how he was using these Gary Smalley personality profiles to help these two people in marriage counseling to figure out what animal they are. And you just almost just standing there in disbelief. So that's the most important thing in marriage counseling, to say nothing about what do these animals describe. There's absolutely, you talk about pseudoscience.
It's an insult. I mean, it's really, these people should have been insulted, because we're created in the image and likeness of God. I didn't know that I was telling someone that you're created in the image and likeness of an animal. It's ridiculous.
They use an example, whether you're a lion, an otter, a bear, or a dog. Well, we described the lion has completely meaning, you know, it's used in the Bible. Why isn't somebody a dragon or a sloth, an elephant? A viper to figure out what their temperament type is. Daniel has visions of beasts. The lion, the bear, the leopard, and the etc. Why not a trilobite? Why aren't some a sheep and somebody else are goats? And for that matter, if you shepherds that are over their flock, that are pastors, they're also sheep. But how does a sheep become a shepherd without evolution? So it disintegrates the whole the use of these terms to plug them into personality profiling. And why not a bird or a trilobite? And why a golden retriever for a dog? Why not a pit bull or a toy poodle?
Oh, dear. It is ridiculous. Another interesting point that you had on your PowerPoint presentation. Now, it's available at your website, perfectpeaceplan.com.
Yes. Now, the way it's presented as I'm speaking, I'm describing the charts. But I also make available the charts, just like I sent to you, where they can just have the color charts.
Yeah.
And
those are excellent because it's so easy to understand, because it could be the topic can be a little heavy, you know, at times, but the thing is, the way you put it together, it's so easy to understand that anybody that looks at it can't miss the truth of what you're saying. It was just really excellent. One of the other things that you talked about was what is inner alchemy?
Inner alchemy?
Yeah, there was something on the PowerPoint presentation about Carl Jung's belief in inner alchemy and UFOs.
Well, I have to be honest. I know what alchemy is. I'm not sure what I was referring to. You mean as INNER or INTER?
Yeah, INNER. Yeah, inner alchemy.
Oh, I get it. Well, that's basically the inner self, or the true self, and there's this huge barrier between the conscious, which he called the false self, and the subconscious, where the true self is. And the only way you can tap, once again, the secret mystery religions, the reason they're mysteries is you got to have these people help you find out and how to tap into these mysteries that you just wouldn't know them just by studying them. Now, in Christ, we have the mystery is revealed, so there isn't anything left.
There aren't any mysteries, because anything you need to know is in the Word of God, so
bingo.
You don't need anyone else to help you untap the hidden mysteries of the universe, because everything, God's already revealed everything in His Word. There's no secrets.
But each individual has their conscious, which is the false self, and then the inner self, or the true self, is the subconscious, and then that's for the individual. But all individuals together comprise have the collective subconscious, if you would, or the collective unconscious. And that's where evolution enters the picture, that in this process, that this is where the true self is, but it's still self. And scripturally, we're to crucify self. So
right.
Whatever crown jewels are in there, if they're true at all, that we're to mortify them. We put
them
to
right.
We don't exalt them. We don't raise them up as, well, I found myself. So people...
Yeah, well, you hear that a lot where people say, I have to go find myself. Well...
And even if there's something in there that's true, do we have any business tampering with it? The Lord, the Holy Spirit in our innermost being, only He knows. There isn't anything in there that we can tamper. Only we can go to a certain point when we examine ourselves, see if we be in God. Certainly we're doing that, but we're not examining our subconscious.
No.
And part of why they use hypnosis is to close off the conscious, is to block it so that we can tap into the subconscious.
Yeah.
Going back to your question about hypnosis, and the thing is used with dreams and imagination, necromancy, and divination. And speaking of dreams, which you wrote extensively about too, we've got a lot of, you hear all these Christians that say, oh, we're going to use dream therapy, we're going to use dream counseling,
yeah,
or whatever. So if the next time, and I invite any of these people, the next time they go visit their psychotherapist that want to talk about their dreams, before they get any advice at all from this so-called, and God forbid it's a Christian psychotherapist, when they want to talk about your dreams, ask the psychotherapist, before we talk about the dream, I want you, the psychotherapist, to tell me what my dream was. We're not doing any interpreting of this dream until you actually tell me what the dream is.
Right.
Because that's what happened in the book of Daniel. Daniel didn't get any tips or hints or suggestions or any hypnosis and on in order to open him up to figure out what the king's dream was. Daniel, because of the Lord directly, told Daniel what the dream was, and then Daniel interpreted the dream. So unless that person can tell you what the dream is, forget about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not really
forget
that
about
necessary.
It anyway, but it should be dead. It should be breached. It should be stillborn.
Yeah. Now, he had a belief in UFOs. So what does that have to do, Carl Jung and his belief in UFOs? And also, I mean, it's got a lot to do with the end times, too.
Well, here's the thing with you. Satan himself is even going to be able to perform miracles to the extent of signs and wonders the way he did in Egypt.
Right, yeah.
With Moses and the Pharaoh's magicians.
Yes,
so,
he did.
No one's disputing that he can't put these miracles out there. But the idea of these visitations of UFOs, well, in terms of, you know, the word UFO stands for unidentified flying object. Well, the angels are the visitors that we have to the earth. Now, we have two kinds. We have the fallen angels, happy to visit us, and possess us, actually. And then we have those that are ministering messengers from the Lord himself.
Yes.
And they can get here from the third heaven, and when the Lord speaks it, they're here instantly. There's no traveling the speed of light to somehow get here, and if they were traveling at the speed of light, that would be a little bit slow because it'd take a million years to get here. So they're able to be here instantly. But this fixation with these visitors, let alone the ones that have ships that can take us away, Satan would love to deceive us with this idea of, and what ship, what angel needs a ship? Now, you have Elijah going into heaven in a chariot. So
that's the way to go.
You know, you remember the what was that book? Vonnegut wrote Chariots of the Gods or something. Where they came down to the earth. And they think, well, that must be who built the pyramids and all of these landing strip markings down in South America. And these big stones and the Stonehenge thing, the Easter Island with these huge.
Yeah.
They said it could only be giants, meaning UFOs. You know, people from another galaxy or something came and built these. And I would concede that, of course, there probably were giants, but that just supports the scripture when there were giants in the land.
Right, there were. Well, Goliath was a giant.
Right, and they were the that was really sort of the tail end of that gene pool. It's a whole other topic about the angels having sex with women in order to produce these giants, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, well, I don't believe that.
So, in any case, the gene pool from the giants, there was certainly a whole race of giants, the Rephaim, and they lived in the Oaks of Bashan and the east side of the Jordan, and so there's tons of them there. And of course, we have animals. We have the dinosaurs that were giants before the flood. But the flood pretty much ended all that, except for there were some offspring of giants because, of course, Goliath came after the flood. So there was some residue left in some of the gene pools that where we got them, but they pretty much petered out after that. And lifespans also
lifespans changed, yeah.
So
you don't live to be 900 anymore.
and so
you imagine that.
That's another component. I don't know how that's connected with personality profiling, but it certainly shows that It's just more evidence that, Young was a kook.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The whole his writings and everything, the things that he based his philosophies on, it was definitely on the occult, astrology, and he did not believe in Jesus Christ as we know Jesus.
Right.
And so, yeah, it is kooky. But I've known a few people, like I said before, that they started to delve into these things, and it made shipwreck of their faith. If you start to believe and start to accept these false teachings, because we're really not supposed to go there anyway. We're not supposed to be involved in the occult, and
but it's taken a whole new level. It's one thing to people to take these on the side; they're a Christian. It's gone to a whole new level. It's not only become a matrix and the superstructure of denomination churches, mission organizations, where they're. It's one thing that you can try my chocolate candy, but you cannot take it if you don't want either. These are now compulsory to take.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to recommend magic arts, but Rick Warren and a host of these others like Gary Smalley take it to a whole new level. Well, Gary Smalley doesn't directly make it compulsory, but he's still teaching at his seminar. So if it's A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So he's promoting this whole thing. So it's bad enough to take the magic arts, but then on top of that, to force you to have to take them, or worse, remove your credentials if you don't take these tests is pretty scary.
Yeah, that is pretty scary. It really is.
And Dr. David Pittenger had people take these tests and have them retested. And as short of 5 weeks, as many as 50% were reclassified into a different personality type. So that's how both fluid and unreliable these categories are.
Yeah, I mean, why is it even important to want to know what personality type you are?
And like I said,
it's not even important.
What scripture, what single scripture based a calling ever on a person's personality? It was based on their character, but it was never based on their personality. When Jesus sent them out by two, and Paul and Silas went out, and they went out by two, that you often had completely different personalities that were doing the same mission. And so what did it matter what personality you were?
That's right, because we're basing what we're doing anyway on the Word of God, and that's our guidebook. We try to pattern our lives after the personality of Jesus, and that's the only personality that matters, because we definitely don't put our faith and our trust in the arm of flesh, because we'll always be disappointed, but we won't be disappointed
in
him.
Personality that the personalities of every human being are like as unique as one snowflake to the next, star different, star in glory. So there certainly are different personalities, and I'm not saying there's no such thing as personality. It's just that, well, how relevant is it to our calling of being Christ, being crucified with Christ, and being nevertheless I live.
Right.
But you probably are wondering, how in the world does this get such a foothold? And I think a lot of it has to do, besides the scripture, that men love darkness more than light. A lot of this has to do with, it ties back to the enlightenment of being illuminated. And, of course, we have Lucifer was the shining one. So the idea is to become bright and to be illuminated, become enlightened, if you would. That's how we get the word enlightened. And so the smarter you are, the more light that you have, but it's all based on self. It's based on the light that you have with the knowledge that you've acquired. Yes. And if you get a mentor or a psychotherapist to judge your test, you know, then you have somebody that's an expert that can tell you what this knowledge means, what this mystery means to you, in terms of your calling to so-called serve God.
It's a very interesting topic, and I know that somebody got some help today, and you know, if there is somebody that listened today or will be listening in the future, that they'll take what we've said and do more investigation. And would you, James, would you tell the listeners a little bit about your websites? You have two websites.
Yes. Our main one is perfectpeaceplan.com, as in perfectpeaceplan.com, and that's our main site. The other one is, if you just type in Rock Salt Publishing and my name, James Sundquist, then that site will pop up. That has even more articles that I've written over the last 10 years, but it also has a lot of in there, by the way, on Carl Jung. You can just see his name all over that.
Yeah, you've got some good articles there, yeah.
Rock Salt Publishing. If you type
Rock
in
Salt
Google,
Publishing.
Because if I the URL is a little complicated if I just
yeah.
give a single
so
letter.
If they just go to Rock Salt Publishing, that'll take them to that site where those articles are about Carl Jung.
Right, and first it brings up just the home page, and then you go, my biography's in there, but then you click next, and that takes you to the string of articles, and I see about a dozen right off in the top, the first page with Carl Jung's name in it.
Yeah.
There's a chart in there that compares psychology to scripture, and the actual movie of my presenting the color slideshow that you are looking at, I don't think that's on that site. It might be. It's on Perfect Peace Plan.
Is it? Okay, so they can actually watch the movie of you presenting the slideshow.
Yes, and I'm going to...
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to watch it myself.
There's part one and part two, and I'm going to try to get, if you go to the media page on Perfect Peace Plan, then I'm going to try to get even more precise with the actual URL to help you, your listeners. And, you know, I've talked to, you know, there's pastors that say that what does it matter if the guy wasn't even a believer, as long as it's truth. You know, all truth is God's truth. You've heard that argument.
Oh, I know. I mean, there was a Nazi that wrote a commentary, a Greek dictionary or a commentary, and I refused to use it. And I even mentioned it to a minister friend that, why would you want to use a commentary, a biblical commentary that was written by a Nazi? It's the same thing. You know, we can't be making such ridiculous statements that, well, you know, what does it matter? It does matter. It does matter what we read and what we take in. Of course, we can read things for investigation to compare the belief system, but it can't, what we believe can't disagree with the Word of God, because that's what we base our
And
okay.
I'm sure you've heard it a lot that this psychotherapy is one of God's gifts to help man solve their problems. But whatever happened to all scripture is profitable for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that you may
yes,
be...
Yes, and the washing of the water of the Word is what washes out your mind from your old thinking. And your thinking changes as you read the Word of God, and it really is amazing how God can change your thinking, and you get right thinking But that only comes by reading his word and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So
now, there, Paul had his scrolls, and the Bible gives teachers, and teachers write a book. I'm a teacher. I wrote a book. I'm a Christian. But I say that to the extent that, yes, I wrote a book, but the book points everybody back to the book.
Right.
Anyway, if you go to perfectpeaceplan.com, click Media Files.
Okay.
Then scroll down on the left where it has the list of a bunch of videos. You go down and you'll see Who's Driving the Purpose-Driven Church, Part 2. And like I said earlier, Susan, it's though it describes how Rick Warren used his personality shape program, it's an in-depth analysis of Carl Jung's personality profiling teaching that is used in a lot of different personality profilings that have nothing to do with Rick Warren and that are used in a host of Christian denominations, psychotherapy, mental health counseling, you name it, irrespective of Rick Warren. But because the analysis is in there, it just happens, in one sense, happens to be connected here with Rick Warren. That connection was there long before Rick Warren existed and to be there long after. So it's related. There's an overlap. So I wanted to just make sure that that was clear.
Okay. All right, then. So that's for the listeners. If you'd like to go to perfectpeaceplan.com, that's James Sundquist's website, and he's also written some good books, and they're available on Amazon and also at your website. Are your books available there also at your website?
Yes, as well as if you go to the articles tab, that's more of the updates on the current events, crises, and I'm working on a film. I'm going down to South Carolina, and I'm doing a film. It's going to be a trilogy of three parts. The overarching title is going to be Making Merchandise of Men's Souls.
Oh, that's good.
And it's going to have three parts. One of the parts is what we talked about today. The other part's going to be devoted to the churches and headquarters of denominations going and hijacking and stealing people's local church properties and bank accounts.
Yeah. The
more current version of that is in the Christian Missionary Alliance, where a church in New Jersey the headquarters sued the local church in order to go to take their property, and the pastor there. They put him on trial. That's going to happen the first week of July, and they yanked his credentials before he even gets a trial, and because he's not going along with the plan.
Right.
So that's the second component, and the third is going to be on the making merchandise of the land of Israel.
That's going to be great. So then where will this film be available?
It'll be available through Cutting Edge Ministries. And it's, I don't know if it's going to take it'll be available in the fall, or it won't be available before the fall, but it'll be done probably sometime this fall.
No, that sounds great. It's really needed because we do need, it's wonderful for people to see it, and videos are very effective ways of communication. So I'll be looking forward to that.
I could talk on a lot of things, but that's both current, and people say, well, that's fine, that's ivory tower stuff, that doesn't affect me. Well, it affects you if you're in a church and they're requiring you to take these tests. It affects you if it's your church they come and stole. And there's a lot of people believe that those that do not bless Israel, if they try to carve up their land and give it away to somebody else, that God brings plagues on different countries. So it doesn't affect you, except if you happen to be in America and your president is bringing a curse on this country, at some point that tornado might just hit your town.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot to talk about, and I'm going to have you back again real soon. But, James, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your birthday today.
Thank you. Well, you made it a special birthday, and you always are so wonderful of a host. You just inspire me, and it's just wonderful. And I've been on tons of shows in the last 15 years, and you're just right. You're just top shelf, Susan.
Thank you. I enjoy what I do, and I'm glad God's given me this opportunity to be a voice. And for Jesus. So thank you so much, James. I'll be talking with you again real soon, okay?
Sounds good. God bless you, Susan.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and take time to really listen to this program. Go back and listen to it again and again if you've been involved in some of this psychology and this personality profiling. And if it has disturbed you, it would be good for you to go to James' website and read his article so that you can understand. Even if you had that feeling that something was wrong and maybe you couldn't get anybody to agree with you, but we agree with you. And when you know the truth makes you free. So we want to be free. We don't want to be bound up, burdened down by personality profiling and trying to figure out what personality, why am I like this, why do I have this personality or that personality. We don't, you know, God isn't the author of confusion, so we don't have to be confused in life. We can just rest, have the peace of God which passes all understanding, and know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a wonderful Savior. And it's a wonderful life being a Christian. Amen? So if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You can know. I believe in a simple prayer for receiving Jesus Christ because that's what happened to me. Salvation isn't difficult. It's not hard to understand. And I know that some people talk about easy believism, but I believe it's easy to accept Jesus because he paid the price. The price has already been paid, and the difficult part is over. The simple part is asking him to reveal himself to you for who he really is, God, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Prince of Peace, and salvation is a free gift. You don't have to work for it because none of us are good enough. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have. And Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. Imagine God himself coming down, leaving heaven and coming down to earth and living on the earth and then dying on a cross. That's love. That's love. And our God is a God of love. He loves us. And he forgives us of all our sins, no matter what it is. He forgives us, and he forgets about it. He makes you a new creation, a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And that is real. That is real. And it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen, that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. So I want to thank you again for stopping in and for listening to this program. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be with me. And remember, God loves you. Hallelujah. Bye for now.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.